You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources has a limited number of PVS-30 night vision scopes for $4,700. These are the top-of-the-line night vision scopes used by the U.S. military, which normally sell for over $11,000. Turn your 12-hour rifle into a 24-hour rifle. Visit Ready-Made Resources to get your PVS-30 today. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my interview with post-apocalyptic writer Bobby Ackart. Enjoy the show. That's the first step in survival, right? You got to decide that you're going to survive.
You have to have, you know, the mindset. You have to be willing to survive. And you know this, Mark, and I've interacted with you. I really honestly don't talk to that many people in person about it because I don't talk about my preps or what we do. Nobody around here would have any idea. I have a few readers that live nearby, and we just happen to trip over each other. But the majority of people take the approach, well, you know, if the time's up, the time is up, and it'll be my time. Well, they say that now, and they might have a cavalier attitude. But when you start getting really hungry, and like I used the example of the man trying to find food for his family, then you'll see some really ugly things happen, and it's there's precedent for it. And especially nowadays, I just honestly am amazed at how our society is now and how hateful we are to each other and how quickly people can get angry with one another. It's like a powder keg with a fuse that's about to light and explode. And, you know, once upon a time, you know, I thought, well, society won't collapse or the economy won't collapse unless there was a precipitating collapse event like an EMP or a cyber attack or a pandemic. But the way it goes now, if you watch the news or look at the way people treat each other on social media and elsewhere, I think we could just blow up no matter what. I mean, one of these days we're going to wake up and everybody's going to be nuts.
Yeah, and you touched on something that's really true, and I hear a lot of that as well, of people that just say, well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and there's nothing I can do about it, and they're okay with it. And they have this concept of dying of, you know, I'm just going to lay down and go to sleep and not wake up. And it's like, well, yeah, if you've had the forethought to plan to do that, if you've got the pills or the whatever it takes to lay down and go to sleep and not wake up, you know, you might have that option. But if you don't have that option, it's not going to be like that. If you just starve to death, that's a very long, drawn out process. And if you die in a violent world, where there's, you know, very well could be cannibalism and that type of thing, you know, you may die a very horrific, horrific death. So, you know, if that's your plan, you better make sure that you've at least made preparations for that. Whatever your plan is, you're going to have to make some type of preparation. So you might as well plan on surviving.
Well, yeah, and we agree on this, is that prepping to me is like insurance. I know this analogy has been used. You know, we pay for insurance against floods and tornadoes and hurricanes and fire. And then in your entire lifetime, you could pay these premiums and never once have to file a claim. And if you value your family and value your life, why not spend a little bit of your money on, you know, the beans, the band-aids, the bullets, the shelter, so that if a catastrophic event occurs, or if you lose your job for an unforeseen reason, or you have an unforeseen medical situation that causes your family to have to spend more resources on doctors, you'll have the things you need to make it until that temporary event passes in your life, or if a catastrophic event comes, you'll have the opportunity to survive. And to me, that's just a very small price to pay to have that peace of mind, especially in an unstable world that we live in now.
You mentioned the Congressional EMP Commission estimated a 90% die-off rate. Do you think that's accurate, and is that basically about the die-off rate in the Blackout series?
Yeah, I take the Blackout series in the six books approximately 3 months after the event that the solar flare hits, from roughly Labor Day until the early part of December. And of course, you never know when it's appropriate to finish a book and how long to go with it. And when you finish it, everybody goes, "No, I want to know more about this." And so you do the best you can to. But the particular series, the Blackout series, was very small town, rural West Tennessee centric in that, there was a lot of interaction between the people who ran the town and then, the FEMA group and then, of course, the survivors. And so I don't really get in much to the what's going on around the world. In the Boston Brahmin series, I showed a rebuilding effort. So not only did I spend a considerable amount of time setting up the collapse event, two books, in fact, books one and two of the Brahmin series, but then I, book six, undertook to show how to rebuild America and what it would take and how long it would take. And from start to finish, that collapse event I wrote about was 9 months. But eventually, they were able to get the transformers, but they had to go through a lot of political negotiation and a lot of private money had to be spent to make it happen. So I won't give away too many spoilers, but that was one of the rare things that I tried to do is not only show pre-collapse, but the post-collapse world and then how they started to put, Humpty Dumpty back together again.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proven to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on gold and silver. Check out silver.com today. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com. And then there's a lot of our listeners that are going to be interested in the fact that in your Boston Brahmin series, you do have some sort of salty language in there. But when you wrote the Blackout series, you decided to write that family friendly. It's got no swear words, no sexual content, and it's something that the whole family can enjoy. Is that right?
Exactly. And the Boston Brahmin series was my first. I was following the pattern of most prepper fiction and post-apocalyptic books out there. The way I was supposed to write it, with salty language and a lot of, battle scenes and describing a bullet that goes 3,200 feet per second and all of that stuff. And, I learned as I went. And then I felt like when I wrote the Blackout series starting last year, grown a lot. But more importantly, I followed your lead and realizing that there's a lot of readers out there who want to learn about preparedness through good prepper fiction, who don't want their children maybe or their teenagers exposed to four-letter words and gratuitous sexual scenes. And so I wrote the Blackout series with that in mind, patterned again after your success. And I have received, you have no idea, maybe you do, but the number of emails and reviews that I've received, people thanking me for not putting in the salty language because it really doesn't add to the story. You don't have to drop the F-bomb or say ugly things in order to give the reader the effect of a bad situation. And I was proud of that, and I believe it helped make the series succeed. And in my new series, in fact, from now on, all of my books will be written the same way. When I get the time, I will go back to the Boston Brahmin series and rewrite it to take that out. But at the moment, that's clearly an R-rated or PG-13 or whatever for language, whereas the other books that I write from here on out will not be.
Well, thanks for writing some good, clean entertainment. I know I personally enjoy it. I like to read stuff that doesn't sort of grieve the spirit inside of me. So I really appreciate that. And like you said, I think it's a great business decision because, you're not going to alienate anybody by leaving that that language out. And as you mentioned, you've got a new series coming out, and it's going to be profanity free as well. Tell us about that one.
Well, I'm excited about this series. In fact, it will book one of the pandemic series. The book is entitled Beginnings. Probably will go live tomorrow or Friday, most likely. And this is a series that I've contemplated since February of last year. After my release of Cyber Warfare and EMP, George Noory from Coast to Coast AM contacted me and asked me to appear on his radio show and then later on his TV show. So I flew out to Denver and immediately got on the plane, and you know, the hacking and the sneezing and the coughing begins, and you're packed in there like sardines. And I grabbed my iPhone and I posted on Facebook and wrote, "Know this, my next series will be about a pandemic." Because you just can feel all of these germs flying through the air, right? So after I got home, I actually stopped by the CDC Colorado Springs and introduced myself and spoke to a couple of folks. And then I came back and I started outlining the series then. And now the pandemic series will be uploaded into Amazon over the next 2 days. And all four books will be available by Friday.
Tell us a little bit about the main protagonist. What's his name, and where's he at, and how does everything get started? Give us a little teaser if you don't mind.
Okay, sure. Well, the story begins actually with a young scientist, a French scientist who is in the West African nation of Gabon, G-A-B-O-N, in Franceville, which has a biosafety level 4 laboratory. And he's studying a Madagascar strain of the plague, like what everybody knows. It was the Black Death that killed so many over the, you know, in Europe and later. And he's kidnapped by terrorists, work for us now. And I won't go too much beyond that. Then you fast forward 60 days, and Dr. Mackenzie Hagen, who is a epidemiologist at the CDC Atlanta, as a daughter of the former head of the Army's Division of Bioscience and Biological Warfare. And she's called to investigate a village in the remote parts of Guatemala that has been decimated by some type of disease, and all of the villagers are found dead. And so that's how the story begins, with the disease detectives from the CDC stepping in to learn about this disease. But during the course of her review of the scene and talking to some of the other disease detectives, there's a mysterious operative there from the Department of Defense who is part of a project that he obviously doesn't disclose, and they find it odd that he would show up at a scene like this. And as it turns out, he's a bioterror expert, and they're looking at ISIS as a possible cause of other types of bioterror attacks. And so their paths cross and they join up, and the story goes that they're crisscross the planet, you know, looking at various outbreaks and following the leads, and they work themselves through the story to some pretty interesting twists. And so that's that'll get everybody started. But it's very the science is real. This is one of the things that I haven't mentioned. But I insist upon the collapse scenarios that I write about as being, you know, realistic and probable. Every cyber attack that I wrote into the Boston Brahmin series can be done. Every is historically has occurred, and as you probably know, we barely missed a massive solar flare in 2014 in the summer. In fact, it's the Carrington event. So when I started researching for the pandemic series, I basically found a way through the science to marry a superbug to a deadly pandemic virus or a plague virus, and it would be real bad news if it got in the hands of terrorists like ISIS, who their goal is wage the mother of all wars, the final jihad against the infidels, and that's that's what their game is, and that's how they're going to come after us. And here's the thing about it. You know, people look at ISIS as a bunch of crazy fools running around the desert shooting their guns in the air. But this is a terrorist organization, a criminal enterprise worth many millions of dollars. You know, they raided the banks. They raided the gold from Iraq. They did the same thing in Syria. They deal in human trafficking. They deal in illegal arms sales. They deal in, you know, illegal oil sales. What they can't create on their own, they have more than enough financial resources to go buy. And so, you know, never discount the ability of ISIS to, no matter what you might read in the papers, that we've got them on the run, and they're contained, they're everywhere, and they have the financial ability to certainly do cyber warfare. And in my book series, they're capable of waging the final jihad in the form of a deadly pandemic.
Well, let's certainly hope that the Pentagon's biowarfare division is guarded much more closely than the NSA's stuff that was stolen by the shadow brokers. And then for 36 hours, Kevin Pierce narrated the audiobook for that. I know we've got some big Kevin Pierce fans out there listening right now. What about the pandemic series? Is that coming out in audio pretty soon?
It will be. In fact, the manuscript is in their hands. I switched narrators for the pandemic series, and I don't, you'll be the first I'll tell this to, and so other folks will know as well. John David Farrell has done work for Steve Conkley and Jeff Hopp, Russell Blake, among others, a very talented voice. And I'm pairing him with a female narrator, Chris Adams. And John and Chris are going to do a dual narration where Chris handles the female voice in any time a chapter is written from the Dr. Mackenzie Hagen's point of view. Chris will handle that, with John handling the male voices within that chapter and vice versa. So it's a bit of an undertaking. It's quite expensive to have a dual narration like this. But I think the listeners over, you know, from audible.com and elsewhere will really enjoy the realism of having a female character handle the lead female role in the book.
Well, it's just fantastic, and I know that everybody's going to be looking forward to checking all this stuff out. Bobby, thanks so much for making some good, clean entertainment, and thanks for everything you do for the prepper community, and thanks for making time to come on the show and talk to us today.
Well, this has been great, Mark, and, you know, again, like I told you before we came on air, is that, you know, the Blackout Series success was owed in part to you and for your trailblazing work with your various series, and I really believe that we can provide good, clean reading that can not only bring non-preppers into the fold, but also the younger set, so parents can feel comfortable allowing their teenagers and young adults to read our books without worrying about what's going to be in it. So hopefully that will bring more preppers out there, and that's the name of the game.
In the post-apocalyptic thriller, The Economic Collapse Chronicles, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, America is on the cusp of financial annihilation. Matt and Karen Baer thought they were prepared for anything, but can they survive a total collapse of the economic system? If they want to live through the crisis, they'll have to think fast and move quickly. In a world where all the rules have changed and savagery is law, those who hesitate pay with their lives. The Kindle edition of The Economic Collapse Chronicles is now available as a box set. Buy your copy at Amazon.com today.